I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS, Footy Chap, Joseph Phelps, Winery, St. Helena, Napa Valley, winemaker, Ryan Knuth. Ryan, good to see you. And I always begin with this sound. And question number one, what's in the glass? What are we drinking first, Ryan?
Cheers. Today we have our iconic wine. This is Insignia. This is a Bordeaux blend from our estate properties here in Napa Valley. So we own 8 estates in 6 sub-appellations throughout Napa that Joe Phelps started purchasing starting in 1974.
We have a lot of history to delve into. We're going to talk past, we're going to talk future, but be naughty to sit here and not have a sip first. So
here please. We go.
Cheers, my
Cheers.
Friend. Joy of joys. Mm. That's a gift from the gods right there. My
it
word.
Yeah.
I just want to think what I would actually make for dinner with this. What would you make for dinner with this?
Ooh, I think I'd do a nice duck breast that's seared off.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a nice blackberry reduction sauce to kind of highlight some of those dark fruit notes in the wine.
A little Liberty Duck?
Oh, got to go Liberty Duck.
Let's talk about your journey first, though, before
okay.
we delve into the Joseph Phelps history. I guess, you know what, it'd be rude to not set the scene there. So the magic of radio, theater of the mind, set the scene. Where are we exactly? And what are we seeing beyond the wine glasses here?
Yeah, right now we're sitting at a lovely picnic table overlooking our vineyards here in St. Helena. So this was the birthplace of Joseph Phelps. Joe Phelps came here in 73 and purchased this beautiful 670-acre cattle ranch, which is obviously no longer a cattle ranch.
no cattle that I can see from my eye. Now, you know, I mentioned bucolic with a capital B because it is. Are there ever bad days here in Napa? Are there ever bad days in Napa Valley when you sit here and you look out the surroundings here, sense of place? I mean, it doesn't get better than this, does it?
I don't think there are any bad days that I can complain
yeah,
of. You
no.
know, I left a previous career to do a lifestyle type job, and I have not looked back now 17 years later.
So I want to ask you first then, wine.
Yes.
When did wine become something more than something you just drank with a meal, when it became something you wanted to embark on a journey to make?
Yeah, wine to me is a connection and a sense of place, and I've always loved food. I worked restaurants like many people have through college.
Yeah.
Loved the idea of food and wine and how they work together
yeah.
and how they pair. So that's really what got me excited in wine before I even knew I would be in wine.
So becoming a winemaker, when did that journey begin?
So that journey began in 2008 when I left a career in biotechnology and decided to delve full into winemaking, studying grape growing, which is viticulture, and
yeah.
winemaking enology.
Well, you landed in a good spot here, Joseph Phelps. Your journey here began just a few years ago. What drew you to Joseph Phelps? Of course, the history, the great wines. But what else was the attraction to be part of this family here?
Yeah, really it is the ownership of land in
yeah.
the vineyards that we have here in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
We're amongst very few where we own these vineyards, farm them in-house,
yeah.
organically farmed with our team that's been here for decades. So really, for me, in making wine, it starts in the vineyard, right?
Sure.
It's all about
yeah.
the source material. It's all about the grapes.
Yeah.
It's all about
yeah.
the raw materials. So I've driven Napa Valley now for 17 years, up and down, and I always knew, hey, that spot,
mm-hmm.
Joseph Phelps owned those vineyards. I would love one day to be working and farming those vineyards.
Well, here you are. You're making incredible wines, Insignia. I know what's special about it. I just had a taste, but what's the story behind Insignia? What makes it so special?
Yeah, really unique for Napa Valley. I think Joe Phelps, when he first thought of Insignia, it was 1974, so you go back to that time, everyone
yeah.
was making single varietal wines. No one had done a proprietary blend mm-hmm. wine, a Bordeaux blend. So it was the first of its kind
yeah.
to start. And because our grapes come from all of our estates, there's a consistency and a quality every year because of our knowledge and our experience over the history with these vineyards.
Yeah. As we look around us here, you know, I'm seeing all these beautiful trees, the lovely green grass. You still get a sense of the fact that this was a working farm once,
mm-hmm.
and still is, because you're growing grapes here. As we see to the left, in terms of the grapes being grown around us, what are we seeing? What's before us?
Yeah, so on this vineyard, we grow Sauvignon Blanc,
yeah.
which we'll also taste, I think, today. And we also grow the all five of the main Bordeaux varieties here. So dominated by Cabernet Sauvignon,
yep.
a little Petit Verdot,
yeah.
Malbec, Cabernet Franc, and a touch of Merlot.
And you're a big fan of the
Cabernet Franc.
Cabernet Franc, yeah. Why so?
I think it's a wonderful grape to blend and complement Cabernet Sauvignon. It's from the family,
yeah.
And for me, I think that blend and balance of Cabernet Franc, which brings a floral kind of elegance to the wine, is what I really love to marry with Cabernet Sauvignon, which of course we know is quintessential for Napa Valley.
We are in, of course, entering into spring. Early days yet, you know, crush months and months and months away. But looking back at 2025, was 2025 a good year?
2025 was a great year.
Yeah.
It has its challenges, but every vineyard does, every vintage does.
Yeah.
So every vintage in Napa brings a challenge, but tells a story.
Yeah.
And I love 25. 25, to me, the ripeness of the grapes, they call it the phenolic ripeness, we
sure.
can taste that really early on. We were excited about this vintage really early on.
Yeah.
And so when a vintage like this, the grapes are ripening earlier, the taste is there, it allows me as a winemaker to pick early and kind of pick and choose at my leisure which vineyards I need to pick and at what time.
Too early to say about this year, but a wet, a wet start to the year, coupled with some really, really nice weather. A good year so far?
Yeah, we love to see a lot of rain in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, we were a little worried, you know, we didn't have a lot of rain, and then February came along, and February delivered. Mother Nature came through with rain, which charges the soils. This rain in the soil will now last us through the growing season when it gets hotter and hotter in Napa. But if you look out here in front of us, what you see is lush green grass.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see barely a speck of dirt. This is all covered in cover crop and natural vegetation that is really happy with the rains we got.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
Thank you.
We should drink to Mother Nature.
We should always.
Wine number two, Brian. Mm-hmm. Friends just joined us, Joseph Phelps Winery, St. Helena, Napa Valley. Joseph Phelps, history in every single glass. Ryan, the Sauv Blanc, tell me all about it.
Yes, has history because these grapes are 35 years old. They were planted in the 90s. So these grapes grow here on the property, right along a little riverbed, so nice cobbly soils. And what I love about Sauvignon Blanc in Napa is you get some ripeness, but you also get the minerality of the soil, and I like to pick the grapes really early to maintain that freshness and vibrancy in the fruit.
And then how long in the barrel?
About 10 months in barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And barrel selection is really important when you're talking white wines and delicacy like this. Just about 30% new oak, so just enough oak to kind of frame up the fruit, but I never want it to overpower.
Salute, my friend. Cheers. Here we go. That is gorgeous too. Of course, I instantly think about what I might have for dinner with this. Thinking maybe some salmon. Where would you go?
Yeah, I would do salmon. I think halibut, a nice crust, panko crusted halibut would do great.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some texture to this wine and some nice weight, so you know, it can hold up to a chicken dish as well.
Sauv Blanc, why does it thrive here? This location, this spot, this part of the valley.
Yeah, because our soils here are unique in terms of their volcanic origin, which brings complexity to the grape. Also, a little bit of a warmer site for Napa Valley. So I'm not trying to make a Sauvignon Blanc that's full of kind of grassy green flavors. I'll leave that to, you know, New Zealand. That's their style. But to me, the style here in Napa, you can develop these nice textural components and fruit, stone fruit components to the wine. And to me, as a winemaker, I can pick and choose at my leisure because of the ripeness.
Nothing grassy, nothing sheepish about this
wine.
No. Let's move on to wine number three. As I mentioned, every wine has a story. This is a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Joy of Joys. Friends, if you've just joined us, Joseph Phelps, I'll tell you at the end of the conversation how you can get your hands on some of these wines. Tell us about the story of this next wine here, Ryan.
Yeah, so I think like all our wines, like we discussed, there's a history, there's a past, there's a present, but there's also a future.
Yeah.
And so this wine is unique because it is made from a very unique grape, which many of us have never heard of, called Choirebe. Don't say that 10 times fast.
One more time.
Choirebe.
Choirebe.
Choirebe. So this is a grape that is from the Riesling family.
Yeah.
It's been on this property also for 35 plus years. Our original winemaker, Walter Schug, was responsible for bringing these cuttings over from Germany. He was from Germany.
Yeah.
And for a long time, we made a dessert wine out of it called Delice.
Yeah.
Beautiful wine. Dessert, ice rebe style. But in 2024, I wanted to flip the script. I wanted to take this grape and highlight it. And instead of it being a sweet wine, I wanted to make it a very dry, aromatic wine.
Well, listen, we did a cheers, we did a salute. As we're close to St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to do a slantcha.
Ah.
Here we go. Oh, that's fun.
Pretty, huh?
Yeah.
Very delicate.
Yeah.
This wine, I think, is a nice aperitif. Goes very good with, you know, crudo, fresh fish.
And the makeup of this, what are the tenets of this?
So this is 100% of the Shoyrebi grape.
Yep.
It doesn't see any oak.
Yeah.
And it's fermented very cool to protect these aromatics, and it's a very delicate, elegant wine that takes a lot of care and patience.
So Ryan, for those who want to come to Joseph Phelps and have the experience here and get a sense of what you're doing here, I know you're open to the public. How does it work? Where do people go? Do you have to make an appointment? And what is the experience, the Joseph Phelps experience, from when folks come and visit?
Yeah, so we are by appointment only.
Yeah.
You can do that by calling us or going online.
So just stand at the end of the street and go, Ryan!
Just call me, I'll come down and get you. And we are a little bit ways. You know, we're tucked back off the Silverado Trail, so you kind of have to know where you're going. You get directions here, but it brings you to this amazing estate we have here tucked away in Napa Valley.
It's not a bad place to come, right?
Yeah.
So for the tasting experience, and folks come, they make their appointment, and what will greet them?
Yeah, we have a greeter right when you arrive, and typically you're greeted either with some bubbles. We actually make an Ovation, which is a sparkling wine made from our Sonoma fruit out there on the coast, or also Sauvignon Blanc. A lot of times you get that Sauvignon Blanc greeting. But as you come to the estate, you're welcomed by this beautiful property, but also this building, which used to be the winery that Joe himself built in 1973.
I know that part of the Joseph Phelps story is the community story, giving back to community, and Joseph Phelps very much involved in so many things throughout the valley here. You've got a big event coming up with Mentis, mental wellness, awareness, especially among our youth, so incredibly important. Joseph Phelps hosting this big event coming up, right?
Yes, yes. We love to support events of all kinds like this.
Yeah. For those who have not been here, not had the Joseph Phelps experience, why should they come?
Because we're unique. You're not going to come here just to taste the wine. You're here to experience everything we have to offer, the history, the story, and it has a communal feel. I think, as you notice, it's a place of elegance and beauty, but a natural connection. So what we want to do is connect everyone to not only our wines, but this special place we have here.
Well, add to that hospitality, conviviality, and extraordinary wines in the glass. I mean, literally, from the vines to the goblet right here. Ryan, to you, your story, the Joseph Phelps story. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers. Thank you, Liam.
Come one, come all. Make a resi. By appointment only, you'll be happy you did. More on the Joseph Phelps story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, I'll have another.